Uncanny Japan is author Mi Terisa Matsura exploring all that is weird from Japan. Strange superstitions and old wives' tales, cultural oddities and interesting language quirks. These are little treasures I dig up while doing research for my writing. And I want to share them with you here on Uncanny Japan. I hope you like the show. Hey, hey, everyone. This is Terry, and you're listening to Uncanny Japan. It's February, very gusty outside, but warmish for this time of the year. The plum blossoms are starting to bloom, and the cherry blossoms are getting ready. And it's roundabouts my birthday. I have no plans, except to get two episodes of the show out this month. My job ended a month earlier than anticipated. Or shall I say I had to end my job earlier than anticipated, so quick before the bills start rolling in, some new shows, and lots of Patreon content. Last time I talked about happy food, basically. So today I want to delve into something a little more on brand for me. First, I have a question. Have you ever gone to bed and been in that surreal space between awake and asleep? Not that place where you take a dreamy step and it feels like you've tumbled off a cliff and you bolt awake, heart pounding in your chest. But a place where, without even realizing it, there's this subtle charge in the air, like a buzz almost. You're wide awake again, or at least you think you are. You can hear, you're aware of the room around you, your bed against your back. But when you go to move, you're frozen. You try to call out, but you can't speak either. It's quite a terrifying experience when it first happens to you. It is, as you probably know, called sleep paralysis. I go through bouts of this every couple of years, ever since I was really little and I kept catching pneumonia. That messed up my breathing and, I guess, my sleep. I was also a chronic sleepwalker for years. For me, it's like sleep paralysis happens almost nightly for weeks, and then some other very weird, scary, or wonderful things start to happen. I've had times when I've heard voices talking to me, murmuring, whispering, shouting. I've heard singing and even strange and beautiful music being played as well. OBE, or out-of-body experiences, were also frequent at certain times in my life. Oh, and I even had this brief period, probably a month or two, after returning to Japan after being very sick, when I had exploding head syndrome. That was freaky and terrifying until I looked it up and it eventually decided to go away. I'm really glad that one hasn't returned. But almost always, just as quickly as these things start, they just stop for months or even years. Knock on wood, I haven't had a long bout of sleep paralysis or anything too weird in a while, and that's kind of nice. A couple of quick facts that I just learned about sleep paralysis. Between 8 and 50% of people actually experience it sometime in their lives, and about 5% of people have regular episodes. And men and women are equally affected. Now, before I learned the word sleep paralysis, this was again pre-internet, so then late 1980s, I believe, and I was describing what was happening to me to a Japanese friend who was studying at my university. And she said, oh, that's kanashibari. In Japan, lots of people get it, especially students studying for tests or anyone who's under a lot of stress. So I literally thought that this phenomenon happened to only me and a whole lot of Japanese students in Japan. The kanji for kanashibari is pretty cool. Kana means metal, and body means to be tied up or bound. So bound by metal. The word is originally a Buddhist term, though. But in order to get into that, let me take a side road and tell you about fudomyo. In Sanskrit, he's called Achala, and is one of the Buddhist guardian deities protecting both Buddhism and its followers. You'll find images and statues of fudomyo in temples and museums all over. Not just Japan, but in China, Tibet, Taiwan, Nepal. Fudomyo is very important in Vajrayana or esoteric Buddhism. So in Japan, you'll see his image in Shingon and Tendai temples, of course, but also you'll find Zen and Nichiren followers paying respects to him as well. I know I'm going down a rabbit hole, but I think it's important that you're able to recognize Fudomyo because he is so awesome and fierce-looking. Even if you have never had or will never have the experience of kanashibari, you might very well come across the likeness of fudomyo, and you can impress your family and your friends, perhaps, by recognizing him. Okay, imagine a male deity sitting cross-legged on a rock engulfed in flames. The flames symbolize consuming all the evil in the world. Now his skin is dark indigo or black. He's scowling, brow furrowed, one fang pointing up, one fang pointing down. He's also got a squinty left eye and a long braid hanging over one shoulder. He's holding a sword in his right hand that symbolizes cutting through ignorance and delusion, while a rope or a lasso is in his left. It is with this that he ropes in violent passions and evil. Fudomyo is hardcore. He's also known as the Immovable One, and back in the day, he was beloved by samurai as a guardian figure. And even today, it seems like some people who are members of the Yakuza have adopted his image via tattoos as a kind of representation of strength of body and mind. His depiction works best as a full back or chest tattoo. Seriously, if you search for Fudomyo and tattoo, you'll see some really beautiful, amazing pieces out there. Okay, now I haven't forgotten where we started. Sleep paralysis. Kanashibari. Remember the rope that Fudomyo is holding in his left hand? It's called a kensaku. On one end, it has a round metal piece, and on the other, a small pointed metal piece. If you're looking at a colored image of him, it will be a braided rope of five colors. This is what he uses to tie up demons and rescue suffering beings. There is a sutra actually called the Kanashibari Hole, and it is from this and that image of being tied up with this rope that the name of the phenomena derives, Kanashibari. While now, when you look around for anything related to Kanashibari online in Japanese, so many of the sites talk about the science behind it and not how it used to be viewed. But it's not hard to imagine that people used to believe that sleep paralysis was a kind of possession, possibly by a kitsune, fox, or a tanuki, or some other malevolent force. Also, have you ever heard of a makura gaishi? Now, I'm personally quite fond of makura gaishi, and I've written about them quite a few times. So let's take another detour and talk about them for a bit. A makura in Japanese is a pillow, and a gaishi or kaishi means to change or to turn. So a makura gaishi is a yokai that waits until someone is deep asleep and then appears only to slip the pillow from under their head and move it to the foot of their futon. These guys are very thin and ugly. They have long stringy hair. Well, overall, they're very freaky looking. Some stories say that they are spirits of dead people who have died in that room. For example, travelers who have lots of money spend the night in an inn and then are murdered by the innkeeper who just wants to steal their wealth. Usually, though, they're just mischief makers. Kizen Sasaki, the folklorist, writes that not only do they mess with your pillows, they can also lift up tatami mats and press on your sleeping body. In Gunma Prefecture, the belief is that a cat transforms into a kasha, which is a kind of monster, and its job is to make someone who is sleeping with their head facing an easterly direction to turn and face the opposite, face west. There is also another creepy belief that when you dream, your soul leaves your body. And if, while you're dreaming and your soul is absent, someone or something moves your pillow, then your soul will not be able to return. So be careful. Also, those makura gaishi are thought to cause kanashibari. So there's this other thing that's related to a kanashibari, but that's a whole nother can of worms. So I'm going to talk about that next time. So today I'm going to end with sleep paralysis, kanashibari, fudomyo, the unmovable one, and the adorable, freaky-looking makura gaishi, or pillow flipper. The next episode, I'll get into a personal story and how I learned about another visitor who can come while you're lying paralyzed and helpless in your futon, unable to even scream for help. But that's next time. So I'm sending a great big thank you to all my patrons. You are absolutely wonderful. Whether it's my 2-year anniversary on Patreon or my birthday or that I'm getting dangerously close to 50 episodes, I'm still giving away stickers to every patron who wants one, old or new. There are also lots of bedtime stories up there, binaurally mic sounds, behind the scenes shows, and as well, recently I've been doing a lot of recipes, so I'm going to start getting those up on the page as well. Thank you everyone for listening, and I will talk to you again very soon. Bye bye. Hey, do you like scary stories? Or maybe you don't do full-on horror, but enjoy a nice dark tale. Something creepy involving Japanese folklore and superstition? Well, if that's the case, you can sneak on over to Amazon or wherever you like to buy books and look for my two short story collections, A Robe of Feathers and The Carp-Faced Boy. All you need to do is search for Teresa Matsura. Let me spell that for you. Teresa Matsura. Another place you can find me doing things is on Patreon. There, once a month, for my $5 and up patrons, I translate, retell, and record obscure Japanese folk tales. Some are dark, some are humorous, some are just weird. And lastly, another super sweet thing you can do is to write a review on iTunes. By doing this, you help like-minded people find Uncanny Japan. It's a little thing, but it means a lot, and it's a great big help. Thank you. I'm Teresa Matsura, and I'll talk to you soon.